we're going to get started with the meeting now. They're all talking. Thank you. We're going to get started with the meeting now. Our president, Susan Fowler, is out of the country, so I'm filling in for her. And I would like, Stephanie, could you call the roll now that we are called to order?
Tom Moore.
Here.
Judy O'Connor.
Here.
Joe Omoasagie. Elaine Plencia.
Here.
Kyle Patterson.
Here.
Julian Rappaport.
Here.
Ann Robin.
Here.
Margaret White.
Here.
Susan Fowler.
That's it. Okay. Thank you. Do we have any public participation, any citizen input tonight? All right. Any additions to the agenda? No? All right. Tonight is our study session. First of all, on the applications that the agencies have submitted, first of all, I want to thank both this staff and the agencies for participating in this new way we're doing, trying things. As you know, we, in last month's meeting, generated some follow-up questions to your applications. Staff collected those, sent them out. We received the answers. So tonight we're going to go through in alphabetical order, I believe, as we did before, but six agencies didn't have any follow-up questions. We have 35, and Susan left me some notes. She thought 4 minutes max for each discussion, and at that's 140 minutes. So I just want to remind the board that this is the record of the questions and answers, so we don't have to read anything into the record. And so as we go through, primary reviewer will present, as we did before, a quick summary of, you know, whether you got we got the answers to the questions very quickly. If there are any follow-up questions, we will try to get those answers tonight from the agencies and not go through another written round. And then next week is the May 24th meeting is when we vote on the proposals. And part of being expeditious tonight is we'd hate to back that up, and we do have a backup May 31st meeting, but once you start in that direction, you start putting a lot of pressure on getting the contract signed and the money to everybody. So we really would like to do this in a very orderly and speedy fashion tonight without, of course, neglecting anything we want to talk about. So with that said, are we ready to go through the applications? The first in the list, the Children's Advocacy Center, I believe, did not have any questions. So we will move on to the RPC's Justice System Diversion Services. There were four questions, I believe, and that's Julian. You were the primary reviewer, I believe.
Mm-hmm. You want me to comment? My short comment would be that they've answered the questions that were asked. I have some other issues to maybe discuss at following this meeting, which I guess I'll say now, but don't necessarily want to discuss. I guess the question that I wanted to be absolutely clear about whether the request is to fund someone who is in law enforcement, partly because my understanding of the literature on diversion is that the best thing you can do is keep kids away from people in law enforcement, not push them further into it. I think there's a lot of evidence of that. And so I think that might require some discussion about the approach. But I otherwise have questions here are answered adequately.
All right. Tom, you were the second.
I thought they answered the questions, but I did have one. What thought to me was, if you read their comments, would it be helpful if the minimum of total agency budget was for the Community Service Division, RCB? Is that the same? Is that ours? That's not ours. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I couldn't hear
I'm
you.
Fine.
All right. Are there any other comments from the board about this application? All right. So the next one is the Youth Assessment Center, and that's Judy.
They did a very good job of answering my questions, but they said they were not hiring a police officer. But what would the experience of the law enforcement person be? What background are they looking for?
Would you like to ask for someone to answer that now? Yes. Is there someone there? Yes. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Lisa Benson from Regional Planning Commission. So we would employ someone that may have been a former officer. So it would not be a current officer, so a retired officer. And actually, we have employed someone now at the Youth Assessment Center that is a retired officer.
So they're up to date on all the protocols to deal with these clients or whatever?
Getting up to date, yes. They started last Thursday.
Thank you.
Or he did, sorry.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anything else on this one from anyone? No? We'll move on to the CU Neighborhood Champions. That's Margaret, I believe.
Question I have is,
could you use the microphone?
Oh, I'm sorry. Thanks.
Look at
him.
It's not on now.
Okay. The biggest question I have is, after training, how will people utilize the training? How will the it's on trauma training? Do we have anybody here from?
Is there anyone here from that program? No?
Okay.
That's it. Kyle?
That was the biggest thing is how, if we go out and train everyone, what will.
Oh, here's someone.
Oh, okay. Thank you. What will we do with that knowledge and how will it improve outcomes for those who are affected by trauma?
So I'm Angie Adams-Martin, and I've been part of the CU Neighborhood Champions over this last year, and I'm sorry I have not been as close to leading kind of what we're doing right now, but I can probably answer some of those questions. We definitely want to build in some technical support for people to figure out how can they plug into their neighborhood communities in order to be those informal or formal supports for people within their neighborhoods who have experienced community violence.
Is that all for you, Margaret?
Yes, thank
you.
Yes,
well, Kyle.
You don't have the process established or a plan in place for how.
Well, we're attempting to identify more professional type mentors that would be paired with some of the more the people who have gone through the trauma training that may not be in a professional role, but they need to figure out how do they manage being a support to somebody in a more informal way without having formal professional training.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else for? No. The truce program. I think that's Tom.
I think they worked real hard at answering these questions for us, and I thought the first section is, why is there such a large increase requested? If I had written this, I would have written it backwards. I would have written the first paragraph first, the second paragraph second, and the last paragraph there, because I think it makes it clear about why there is this increase, mm-hmm. and that they have learned from doing the program, that they have learned what it is that they need, and that they had, in fact, asked for more the first time around and got less. And so, given their experience or history, now they're absolutely certain why they needed that, that kind of thing. So I think there's a little bit of, from my understanding, just a little bit of confusion. Then on page 29, when... so these aren't numbered, are they? Still, near the bottom of the page, of course, they're talking about training, and I think that a graph would have helped there, where it has where they're doing training, and then doing engagement, and then doing training, and then engagement. So you would get a sense of the feedback loop that answers Margaret's question: what do you do with the training? Well, you do stuff with you interact with the community. So I think that would have helped. A little bit. And I think also on number four, when she says, how does Truce collaborate with Fresh Start? As I read this, that there is a network of violence prevention programs, and Truce, Fresh Starts, community champions are all kind of collaborating with each other. So I feel pretty comfortable in my knowledge. I felt pretty comfortable about how they went about. I just would have made it a little more clear. I think it could have been a little more clear about that.
Okay. Anne, did you have anything?
I don't
have
anything to add to that.
Thank you. Okay. Anyone else for the Julian?
I just wanted to say in a positive way that I realized in reading over these responses that it's difficult to not simply regard every program as kind of it's an institutionalized thing, and there are certain ways that we carry out social services, and these are the things we expect. Because what we have here is a kind of a pretty unique delivery model. And so it sort of has to work itself out in ways that are not going to be as, rigidly fitting into the way social service agencies schedule things. So it makes it a little bit harder to grasp how that works. On the other hand, I do think they have an obligation to try to explain how it works, but I think we have an obligation to also appreciate that they're doing something in a somewhat different way than the typical agency. That's all.
Yeah. Elaine, can I? Yeah. After going through these, one of the things I found was that it was wonderful to have these questions answered, and each question makes you ask another question.
Yes.
So we could go on for this for the next year or so.
Yeah, but we started. All right. Let's go on to Dream House. That would be Kyle.
I think they pretty much addressed the few questions I had as far as what the location would be. It looks like they're going to be operating in public schools, both in Champaign and Rantoul, and then just the alternative funding sources. And it looks like they've been doing some fundraising on their own pretty substantially. So, I don't think I have any additional questions for that.
And I was the second on that. I don't either. I did notice we asked about the relationship to other programs, which was answered, but in another place, Big Brothers and Sisters was mentioned as being utilized by this program, maybe through Don Moyer, but it's not in our answers, but that's only enhances the answer that was sent in to us. Anything else for Dream House? Yes, Ann.
Yeah, I just want to make a couple of positive comments. The way I'm reading the answers to this is that this is a really good example of a program which is looking to the future and looking to sustainability. And that's very clear in the way that they answered the questions, that they're not just a demonstration project for right now, meeting the need right now, but they're looking to the future and how they can keep it going. And I do like the comment on page 33, a sustained engagement is an integral part of the program design. And I think that's very positive. I just wanted to say that.
Okay. Thank you. The Community Service Center of Northern Champaign County Resource Connection, that's you, Ann.
Yes, and I can be very brief. This is a very modest request for a sustaining service, and the only question was Rosecrans involved, and the answer is no, they're not, and I don't know what all the reasons for that is, but they're not there now. And they did talk about how they use Facebook as their outreach, which seems pretty reasonable. So those were two answers and nothing else to add there.
Okay. Margaret, did you have something to add?
No, I don't
know. Okay. Anyone else? All right. We'll go on to Courage Connection. And that's Jillian. Do you, Tom?
I don't think I do. I didn't write anything down here. It says it. I'm going to make sure I'm telling you the truth. No.
Yeah. Yeah, the answer was about the Courage Connection with, and other groups, their collaboration and presence. And that was answered, I believe, very well. Anything else for this one? Okay, for the next one is Crisis Nursery. Judy?
I just have a comment on their answers. I was really encouraged that they're reaching out to Northwestern University looking for training and collaboration, and it is such a preventive program that I think it's an important part of what we fund.
Mark?
And late this afternoon, we did get forwarded a response from Crisis Nursery regarding the second half of the question about approaching the Board of Health. Mm-hmm. And spoke with Julie Pride, the executive director at CUPHD, and got a written response back, very brief, but basically said that they would not be soliciting proposals this year, either through the Public Health District or the Board of Health. So there would not be an opportunity for FY18 for funding to help support this program. So.
All right. Anything else for the crisis?
Well, this is a study session, right? So. Mm. I would like us to think about putting on an agenda for future time, approaching the board for the Champaign County Health Department, the board.
The three-person.
Yes, the three-person board. I would like us to think about approaching them to discuss the nature of some kind of a relationship, because it troubles me that we don't have one.
I didn't start that conversation.
Thank you. I'm just getting it on the agenda here. And by the way, I think this program had in the past had some a relationship there.
And I found my complete file.
So at any rate, it's not about them. It's about us and the Board of Health talking.
All right, so for the resiliency project at Cunningham, Susan and I were the reviewers, and there was a a good detailed answer to our questions. One of the things across the board we had been looking at for all of these was when the Mental Health Board was the sole funder, and it had looked like we were the sole funder for this one, but they gave an answer about what Medicaid does and other things, a breakdown of what services were covered by Medicaid and what not, and so on. And so the conceptualization of the tool, the screening tool, was given to us, but because it's a new program, that answer couldn't be given specifically that's being developed, the screening tool, I guess. And Susan said the responses make sense and are clear. The question is how quickly services can be implemented and if this is an appropriate level of funding for a pilot, essentially a pilot program. Any other comments for the resiliency project? No? All right, go ahead.
I thought it was a very comprehensive plan in place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a good detailed answer, yeah. All right, the CU change at the Don Moyers, that's Margaret.
First of all, I want to thank you for answering these questions in such a comprehensive manner. And the holistic approach to supporting youth and helping them have a plan for the future, and the family contract and conference, a lot of great follow-up in implementation. So thanks for the response.
Mm-hmm. And Kyle, did you have anything to add? All right, anyone else on the CU Change program? Okay, the Champaign Community Coalition Summer Initiative. That's Tom.
Just two things that I wanted to highlight here. And both of them was that these answers that have been provided by this agency really help clarify the original summary that we have, because I think it is in itself a little complicated and confusing.
Yeah.
But they note that the Don Moyers Boys and Girls Club provides an administrative, fiscal, and documentation requirements for the program, while the 14 community coalition partner organizations provide the programs and activities. And I think that's a very clear, concise separation of why is Don Moyers getting the money and they ain't doing anything. It's because they're not supposed to. It goes somewhere else. And the other thing I wanted to highlight that they put in is like a program purpose. The purpose is to provide an opportunity for a multi-agency community-wide effort to address the level of youth violence, delinquency activity, negative peer interaction, and antisocial behavior that has been an issue for the Champaign-Urbana community for several years. The idea of a multi-agency attempting this problem, I think, moves us pretty far ahead in dealing with youth violence and just youth in general. So what they did in providing us with this was a large clarification of what we had gotten in the summary.
Mm-hmm. Ann, do you have?
I agree with that.
Anything else for the summer?
I just have a comment. It's very comprehensive, and if you look at difficult times for kids in the summer, this will provide the activities and help them with plans, and it's such a great prevention plan for the future, too, along with the other one.
Mm-hmm. Anything else for that one? All right. For Youth and Family Services at Don Moyer, Joe is not here yet. Julian, you were the second reviewer.
Uh-huh. I think they answered all the questions that were asked of them.
Okay. All right. Then we'll move on. The East Central Illinois Refugee Mutual Assistance Center did not have any follow-up questions. So we'll go down to the... Sure, be sure I've got my ducks in a row here. And the Family Service Counseling did not have any questions to follow up with. The Self-Help Center did not at Family Service. The Senior Counseling and Advocacy at Family Service. And let's see, that was Susan's. We'll get her response here. Well, she apparently didn't get a reply before she left. She said no response provided, but in fact one was provided, and I think we've all read it, and it concerned serving people with a disability, whether that was being done. That was answered positively and with detail. And the question of, is the elderly population of 75 and older who are living in poverty, is that growing? And that was answered yes, but with some supporting statistics. So let's see, Judy, you were also on that one. Did you have anything else?
Just a much needed agency in our county. Mm-hmm.
All right. Anything else about that one? No. So we'll move down to First Followers, and Julian, that is yours.
Uh-huh. Once again, I think that they've really answered the questions with great detail, descriptively, exactly how to address or what issues need to be addressed in terms of the financial numbers and mm-hmm. so on, and the questions that staff had. I think I'm going to leave to the staff to make some recommendations to us. But right now, I would say the substantive response here is quite clear and well described.
All right. Tom, you're the second one.
I certainly don't have anything to add other than I think if you read the original summary, were a little bit confused or had questions, you read this, what they presented to us, it's much better than the summary because it's very complete and it talks about the work. I do want to call attention to one thing about their anti-stigma work with employers. I said this involves contacting employers by phone and or by email and then following up with in-person meetings. I think that's the value of this program mm-hmm. is that by being mentors, that they do a lot of face-to-face work with people who may never would be unlikely to hear from someone working with this population that they're working with. So I like the idea that they're really sensitive to anti-stigma work for return. I mean, we have the same problem with mm-hmm. just people seeking mental health services, and these guys have now decided, no, we're actually going to pay attention to addressing that anti-stigma for reentry people.
Mm-hmm. Anything else for First Followers? Okay, the next one is Grow in Illinois, and I was the primary reviewer with Susan as secondary. And one of the questions was efforts at leveraging funding, and the answer given was they say they have competed with at a MacArthur Foundation, $1 million plus change application, which is you'd be in competition with internationally based charity groups, so that's kind of a high goal, and have been working with a Get Fully Funded, which is a funding model that you can learn, but I didn't see any answer about using local or seeking local funding. I just mentioned that. Was not in the response. And I wasn't sure, is anyone here from Grow? Neither Susan nor I was sure about how many are being served from this answer. Said the group at the jail is at capacity, 12 people, but neither of us could tell if there's another group yet or whether that's dependent on a field worker being funded. So So she and I had the same two questions about that. But, you know, quite a worthy idea for sure. Anything else for Gro?
Well, I had asked some questions, and I really appreciated their description of their methodology for getting to what you're talking about. How do they create new groups?
Mm-hmm.
They have a pretty clear description of how they do it. Again, my impression, I'm sorry nobody is here, my impression is that they have a very well-refined set of procedures they use both mm-hmm. within the group and to create new groups given the limits of their resources. Mm-hmm. But I think some of it might be just they haven't done it here like this
yet
to get funding.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it may be that they need to learn how to explain stuff
mm-hmm.
Of what they're actually doing. I mean, I'm more interested in what people are actually doing,
yeah,
but ultimately they have to be able to communicate it to other
yeah
people. So
yeah,
I think this is a good step in that direction,
mm-hmm,
especially about the development of new groups. So
mm-hmm,
definitely, in my view, kind of worth following up with them.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's move on then to the Mahomet Area Youth Club Bulldogs Learning and Succeeding Together. That's Tom. I believe you had that one.
Okay. I think they did a very good job of trying to clarify the program in Mahomet, and especially with the population that they want to deal with. I was impressed with when they talk about under number three, are you coordinating data collection on attendance and school improvement? It sounds like they do have an idea that they want to do that, and they'll be cooperating with the schools and trying to track mm-hmm some student attendance. Well, the only second question that wasn't answered that I would have thought, maybe have they thought about it, Are they going to be able to look at students' grades or look at school improvement? You know, that's not mentioned here, and maybe they're not doing it. If mm-hmm and if they're not, that's okay. Just think about it for how they want to evaluate their kids. That's all.
Is there someone who could answer that question?
I think it is mentioned in there. I think it is mentioned in the response. Because I seem to recall a reference to 75% of the participating students, their grades either stayed the same or improved.
Mm-hmm. But we have a speaker.
I'm Chad Hoffman with Mahomet Area Youth Club. In terms of grade improvement, what Mark is referencing is for our next program, the Members Matter program.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
okay.
Pardon me.
With the BLAST program, because of the nature of 9 different courses offer each session, and then that rotates. To date, we have not tracked grade improvement with those K through
okay
sixth grade students. It's not that we could potentially look
mm-hmm
at that, and work with schools to have some more of that data, but we actually have that to date
mm-hmm
at that grade level. But when we get to the junior high level, we do track that.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions for Chad now that he's here? And it's such a nice acronym, that BLAST. Anything else? Okay, thank you. But we do have the other program, the Members Matter program, and let's see, Joe isn't here. Julian, did you have anything about that?
Okay. I think I didn't have any problem with the – I understood the answers. What I can't recall, I apologize for not being able to recall this, so I'm going to ask Chandra. Could you comment on the cultural competence status of actually both of these programs? I can't remember what you – or is there anything that should be brought to our attention, or is everything just about the way we'd expect?
So I think because they've had a change in leadership, there may have been some training that has not happened, but we have been in touch about additional training, and they also would like to do some screening of my name as well, some
Okay, so assuming you'll work that out.
Yes. We've been in touch.
Great. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I wasn't sure. I think I should have known that, but I don't.
Yeah, and our board did go through a diversity training as well. Mm-hmm. And I think you referenced that in our documentation. Mm-hmm. And that's
mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. All right, we'll move to the applications from Prairie Center Health Systems. And the first one is criminal justice substance use treatment with Margaret as primary reviewer.
I thought the application was very well done. And being a former representative of this board at Promise, I have seen their data and their follow through, and I'm very impressed with how they provide the information and data to show growth in their programs.
Okay, and Kyle, did you have something to add? No. Anyone else on this one? Mark?
I just want to be sure we go back to Prairie Center. I think you went to Promise Healthcare, is that right?
No.
Okay.
It's Prairie Center. I worded.
That was my mistake. That was me. I had the wrong one.
I was.
Okay. I don't have any comments on that particular one.
We've been dealing with criminal justice substance use treatment.
Sorry, I jumped ahead. Okay. I have Mark's list here.
Yeah, well, yeah, okay.
And I'll just say ditto later.
Okay. All right. Is there anything else for that one now that we are sure of which one it is? Okay. The next one is Fresh Start, and Susan was the primary reviewer on that, and she felt that all of the responses were satisfactory and clear. And so is there anything from Judy on that one?
They're looking at for more funding sources, which I feel good about. And since it's a new program, I read about it a lot in the newspaper, and they didn't have, because it's new, they didn't have a lot of data. So I hope that they'll be able to report to us midterm, so we know how it's going, and maybe we'll have other questions. Mm-hmm. But they have good partners to work with. That's all I have. Mm-hmm.
Anything else on Fresh Start? No? All right. Anne, I believe you're talking about Parenting with Love and Limits Extended Care.
Okay, this is a program that I've always had a lot of questions about, and I talked with both Lynn and Mark about this program just after reading all the materials, including what you sent me, Mark. Thank you very much. And I'm going to defer to Mark Driscoll. He's going to take my 4 minutes and tell us about the program. Thank you.
We've been moving so quickly, I feel bad about taking 4 minutes.
But
have more than 4 minutes, but we don't want to tell you that.
And I don't want to use more than four. We actually have two PLL programs. One is with Prairie Center. One is with Rosecrans. Each program, and yes, it is a substantial investment by the board. It goes back. Our initial investment began in 2009 in response to what essentially was some poor performance from other programs related to juvenile justice diversion. The programs themselves, each program employ 3 master level therapists. They are trained in the model, an evidence-based model. There is also a case manager or family support specialist associated with the program. They provide support to the families. Each program runs a series of groups, family groups, and then individual family coaching sessions. For the Rosecrans program, the front-end program, they run 6 sessions of group and then 6 family coaching sessions. The extended care program with Prairie Center is runs 8 sessions, 8 group sessions, and then 8 family coaching sessions. The way with 3 therapists, the way the program operates is they're kind of leapfrogging over one another. That while one is recruiting families to engage in services or doing follow-up, another clinician is running a group, another therapist is running a group, and then the third therapist is wrapping up its session and then planning for the next, as well as doing any follow-up work with families that can occur. There is a fair amount of data collection associated with their involvement with the individual families. I know there's been some questions about the performance of the program over the last couple of years. I would point out that for one of the programs, for both programs, the lead therapists have stayed with the program since its inception, since we brought it, we started this program in Champaign County. On the Rosecrans program also has a therapist that's been with the program since 2011. And the problem we've had over the last 2 years is both programs have had turnover either in therapist positions and or the case manager position, which affects the ability of the other therapists to run their, to continue that leapfrog sequence. Lynn and I do have plans to have a discussion, a conversation with Savannah Family Institute about the contract we have with them. Mm-hmm. So we do intend to do that. We've also talked about possibly organizing a study session specific to this program so that folks can get a little more in-depth understanding of how this program operates, mm-hmm. considering the level of investment. Yeah. I will say that is my the clock running out? I would say that when this program first came to the community, it was we had a presentation on the program by Dr. Sells. He also did a community education meeting where he demonstrated how a group functions and a family coaching session would be run. And then they did do a recidivism study 3 years after the initial year of the Prairie Center program, after its first year of operation. 3 years after that, they went back and took a look at for the youth that were served by that program compared to those that did not engage in services, how they compared in terms of recidivism, and there was a demonstrated positive relationship between participation in parenting with love and limits and reduced recidivism. Mm. They also they do pre and post tests related to 2 specific measures for every family that participates in the program. So that's a brief overview. I did share the most recent quarterly report. I do participate in quarterly video reviews along with each team. Separate reviews are done quarterly with each team. With Savannah Family Institute, I participate in every one of those, and we get a fairly substantial document from Savannah related to the performance of the program over the course of the year to date for any given year. And then at the end of the year, we get a more detailed report which tabulates the change in family functioning related to the pre and post tests reported for the child and behavioral checklist and the FACES. Mm-hmm. Those are the 2 measures that are used, instruments. Yeah. So okay. I think that was less than 4 minutes, at least by 9 o'clock.
Well, thank you. Margaret?
I just have a comment. As an LCSW, Parenting with Love and Limits is an outstanding mm-hmm. program. And I met with Mark and Lynn over this. I just would like to try to get the contract with Savannah reduced a little bit, and I can see having another therapist instead. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, well, I think a study session would be very good because there are people, myself included, on the board who weren't here when that was set up. And so we don't, of course, have that level of understanding. Okay, let's move on to the prevention program with Julian. I believe that is you on point.
So I thought the original application was quite clear and well done. I think that this is a good program, and I think they have answered the questions that are addressed. My concern is largely about dollars. I think they have an answer here about why, they're asking for, I think it's about approximately $7,000 more than we had been giving them. And it's because one of the grants that the school district gets is ending. So my feeling about this is partly in principle. Urbana Schools is a big organization. We're talking about $7,000 for a program that they say that they care about. Prairie Center is not all that small. I'm thinking that between some negotiation between the parties here of a program that they both seem to value, they ought to be able to figure out how to keep this program going, given that we're already giving them, $58,000 approximately. So I'm a little less enthused about increasing it because I think it's going in the wrong direction for community partnership. So it's nothing that I don't have anything bad to say about the program, however. So how we work that out, I think we'll see. That's my view.
Okay. Let's see. Tom, did you have anything to add there?
I don't think I have anything to add other than I was impressed how they answered the question of how our program outcomes measured and evaluated, and they give a pretty nice description of that. I guess. And it seems like they're working with the Center for Prevention, Research, and Development on campus. And I guess I'd like, since they are in the mode of doing this research and they're doing pre-tests and post-tests, that they may think about, and maybe they're in a position to think about if they had a group almost like Mark talked about with the PLL that's not receiving their service. And so how is a random group? Mm-hmm. If they didn't get services, how would they do compared to the group there? Mm-hmm. And that might be down the line that they can do something about that. And so I'd like for them to think out loud about that. But otherwise, I don't have any. It's fine. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything else?
I should add one positive note. I think, if this is correct, and I'll ask Chandra if I'm correct. My memory is this is a pretty answered questions about the cultural competence in this report, which is something we should take note of in our evaluation. Am I correct about that? Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Let's see. Judy, you'll be talking about specialty courts.
A great program, and I really was informed with the answer to the question we had about what happens to the graduates. And this is, to me, an important thing that we don't always hear from agencies. They continue for 6 months after graduation. They attend at least one Prairie group of choice 6 months following graduation. They do a community support group. And the most important thing, I thought this was wonderful, they have a, lost my place here, an alumni group. How wonderful is that, to have that support? So feel very good about this program.
If I could just do a quick public service announcement. next Wednesday at 2:30 will be the drug court graduation ceremony at the Urbana Civic Center. It's going to be a small class, but if you haven't been there, I encourage you to attend. It's a wonderful event.
All right, thank you. Good idea. Anything else for this one? Okay, Youth Services under Prairie Center. Susan and I had that one. They answered our questions very well, and I particularly liked the way they addressed how is staff turnover being addressed. There was kind of a multifaceted look at all of that, and I thought it was very well thought out how you address an issue like that within your own system. And Susan, let me see what she has. She thought all of the concerns were well addressed by the responses. So we don't have any follow-up questions there. Anybody? Does anybody for that one? Okay, then we will move on to Promise Healthcare, the mental health services, and it is that where you say ditto? It didn't really have any questions.
Ditto. I think we did that. Sorry.
That's all right. Didn't really have any questions anyway. We'll move on to Tom and talking about the wellness and justice program at Promise. Is that yours? Yeah. Yeah. I believe it is. Let me. Yes. Uh-huh.
Their answers were wonderful, and I particularly like the one about exercise because I think that the population that they are going to be working with is would benefit from that greatly. And then they were very clear on where, on what kind of exercise they thought that people might have access to, and how they were going to do that. And so they're pairing together justice and wellness is pretty clear there. And I hope that they do get a relationship with First Followers.
Mm-hmm. Anne, did you have anything to add?
No, I don't.
Okay. Anything else for the Wellness and Justice program? All right. The next is the Rape Advocacy Counseling and Education Races. Joe is the primary, and Julian, you're the secondary reviewer there.
Well, my comment is just that I thought that their answer to the question that was raised about their likelihood of surviving was well done, and there's a lot of community concern and effort for this, and I think they've answered that more than adequately.
Mm-hmm. Okay, anything else about that one? All right, so... the next one is the Rosecrans Anti-Stigma Education and Recovery Partnership, and Susan was the primary reviewer. She felt that is not yet a well-developed proposal. And that was her concluding, her summary remark on that. Let's see. Judy, did you have something to add to that?
I have to agree with Susan, and it was interesting. I was at the Community Coalition meeting on Wednesday, and the discussion was how do we pull all of this information together? There were people there that had programs that were attempting it, but they all said it's very, very difficult to implement.
Mm. Yeah. Anything else there? Okay, we'll move on to the co-responder team application. Kyle, I believe that's yours.
So I know one of the topics that kind of was a question that would apply to a lot of the different things we do is discussing the intersection between law enforcement and mental health. I think Tom had sort of raised the question of, should we be funding a police officer? And, whether that would be appropriate with, the goals that we're trying to achieve. they did respond to that. Kind of one question I had is, because it's my understanding the officer is going to be through the University of Illinois Police Department, and it seems like they're not getting a lot of funding, if at all, really, from the U of I. I guess they're going to cover the benefits, but not the salary. And I was just kind of confused on why the University of Illinois wouldn't find a program like this, particularly when it's going to be a pilot program, to be appropriate to fund. It seems that it falls into the, goal of a university to, research new ideas. I guess another concern that I had was that it's going to be one person who's going to be the it's just a staff of two people, so it's only going to be 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. I just wonder if there would be a way to expand that a little bit, because unfortunately mental health crises don't only occur during those hours. And, I just kind of wonder if, the U of I would pitch in a little bit more if we could, maybe have two or four, I guess, like two teams to, better cover that. And I guess there was another question of the overlap between a similar program that's going on in Rantoul. I guess they weren't aware of it until the proposals were released for grants. But I wasn't completely satisfied with their response on how to address if there'd be overlap. That's pretty much all I have.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and they did note in their response to the question about paying for the law enforcement part that the sheriff's office has offered a vehicle to this program. And since it's, and I know that in the original application they acknowledged what you mentioned about the Monday to Friday time frame, and hoping later to expand that, but that's not part of what we have here. Is there anything else that people have to say on the co-responder team? Okay, the Rosecrans, I got to get back here and be sure I don't ask for things that don't have any questions. Just a second here. Back to the right page. Yes, the Rosecrans Criminal Justice program is Margaret.
I think the questions were answered. Sheila answered them accurately, or gave the information we needed in the response.
And did you have anything, Kyle, to add to that? No? Okay. Then anything else for that one? The Criminal Justice Rosecrans. Okay, moving then to the Crisis Access and Benefits, that would be Julian.
So the answers are a little bit sparse, although there's references to their original application, which I guess we had questions anyway after the original application. So putting that aside, I think that what we've got here, and it may be in more than one program, and it's something that probably is an important policy issue for the board to work out with the staff. I think we have to figure out, when we're working in the area of criminal justice, what is it appropriate for us to pay for, and what is it not appropriate for us to pay for? Collaboration is great, but you have to have two organizations that are willing to put something into it. So exactly what and how is a little bit, it's just not clear that we have a policy yet, and I'm a little hesitant to have that policy imposed on us by someone, not us. But so I think it's important for us to figure this out, and I would put this program in that domain where, like the other we've been talking about, well, what about law enforcement, and how do we do this? And so I'm not –
blaming anybody for this. I just think it helps us to highlight the fact that this is a policy domain that we need to figure out. And I'm hoping we're going to get some recommendations from the staff about that will help us figure it out.
Tom?
I didn't have anything to add to that, but I also didn't hadn't seen it in the same way that Julian just described it, so I'm fine with that, and let's think about, put the weight on us to kind of think about that in the future. So that's wonderful.
Okay, Margaret?
I agree with Julian. I think at some point for us to map out all of the criminal justice activities or all how we merge together with all the organizations and how that's happening, because I think a lot of them are similar, and just for us to understand that and who's paying and how it works out. I agree.
If I could, if I may, in regards to your question, Margaret, the Crisis Response Planning Committee, they formed under the Department of Justice Planning Grant. They have been doing a mapping exercise and gaps analysis, and that document, I think, is on the verge of being finalized. We've had I think we had a final draft come before the group at the May meeting, and Celeste Blodgett and Bruce Barnard have provide staff support to that group and have done some very good work in pulling that all together. We actually, the Mental Health Board, in conjunction with a number of other folks, including the Sheriff's Office and Rose Grants, did some preliminary work on that last July with the first the mapping of the first intercept. But there's five intercepts related to the involvement of law enforcement and behavioral health, and this document identifies a lot of the gaps, and as well as the resources for each of the five intercepts. And then there is what is now referred to commonly, being more commonly referred to as Intercept Zero. It's something that Lynn, in one of her trips to Washington, D.C., came back with in terms of new terminology. And it basically reflects the community in terms of the services that are available in the community at large.
Serious about this.
And I think my 4 minutes are up.
Thank you.
Since our time is up and I can't get the timer to stop, this is...
We'll be going, Kyla and I and a couple of other people from Champaign County government will be going to Washington, D.C. for a best practices implementation training in this area in the middle of June. SAMHSA is paying for us to go there. That's one of the goodies we got through our association, our national association. Another is that we might be considered as a pilot community for an implementation project through that also. But at a minimum, we can come back maybe in July, and you asked for this a month ago, a discussion about the changing relationship with law enforcement. I think we could make, you know, maybe a brief report on the trip may start that discussion. And then, as Mark said, that intercept mapping may be available too. Is that a start, at least?
I'll make just one short clarifying comment, at least from my point of view. What you're talking about in terms of, you know, the mapping and the laying out of the overlap and who's responsible for what, that's part of the issue. For me, the issue was a little more specific to the Mental Health Board per se, for us to figure out, in collaborating with other groups, what's it appropriate for us to pay for and what's it appropriate for other groups to contribute to. And I think I'd like to see us think about policies that encourage collaboration that's not just talk, but also some concrete collaboration in terms of dollars. It doesn't, you know, it just seems to me like the best way to move. That's my view at the moment. We should talk about it, that's all. I'd like to talk about that as a policy matter for us to think about.
Okay, thank you. The next proposal is the other part of Parenting with Love and Limits, the front end part that Rosecrans is doing. And Mark has already spoken to these proposals. I will just say that they mentioned in the PLL front end, moving from intense oversight to less intensive monitoring would be preferable and reduce the cost of evaluation. So we were talking about the whole issue of the layers of expense there. So that's in that conversation. And Susan she was the second reader and did not have anything to add to that. Does anyone else now have anything? All right. Then let's see, the substance use services program, Judy.
The answers that we received were very important for me to hear. I just would like to know, because Rosecrans and Prairie Center both have sort of similar programs, and Prairie Center has been utilizing their program, and I wondered why they wouldn't pick up this part of it, because it's a lot of money that we're going to fund the substance use service program. And maybe it's not a possibility, but I would like to know if that is a possibility and if it would be beneficial to the clients that we are going to serve.
Mm-hmm. All right. Any answer on that or further comment? Okay. The secondary on that is Joe. So we'll move on to transition housing. Anne, that would be yours. Oh, was there nothing? Well, there are two questions here in the list of questions.
Well, I think the way this was presented
was
not
fine.
Clear to me.
Oh, was not
so,
clear to you.
Maybe it was not even clear to me that they were answering these questions. I'm sorry.
The questions here are on page 6.
The responses are on page 100.
Uh-huh.
100 and 101. Okay, because I'm looking on 108. Where is it?
Well, what's 108 number 6, isn't it?
101.
I think it isn't it on 108?
It starts
paragraph 6.
Well, we actually have there's two documents here. One, the answers to the board questions are on page 100 and 101. And then they had, prior to the questions posed by the board, had sent a response to the the program summaries. When I pulled this document together, I actually ended up with two copies of Prairie Center's. So you actually have Prairie Center from 102, which is repeating, so that might be a little confusing. But the answers to the specific questions the board raised are on pages 100 and 101 mm-hmm. related to the
application. Yeah, it starts at the bottom of page 100, yeah.
Well, I guess I personally didn't have a lot of questions about this because they reduced their amount of requests significantly, and they've changed their program significantly, and I think we've discussed that previously. Mm-hmm. So it's basically they're offering transitional housing instead of homeless shelter.
Mm-hmm. So I guess the question that we'll want to address is, is that a program we want to support since it's different than what we were supporting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think what they're asking for is money to support part of a staff person.
Mm-hmm. Margaret, did you have anything to add there?
My question was like Julian's originally, the change was from homeless shelter to transitional housing, but they did answer the questions with what they were applying for.
Assigned.
I think one of the things is to think about is, as we talk to different agencies, housing is such an issue that this is an important component for the Mental Health Board.
Okay. Anything else about this? All right. So the UP Center. That was Tom. Did you have any?
You know what? I couldn't find any responses. Is that right?
There is a response. It's an email, I believe.
Yeah, there was.
Because on page 112 is where that is. It says, yes. We have not received a response, at least not.
Their response is at the very top of the page, Highland.
And that just sounded like... wasn't it in the original program that they only had a few employees?
Yes.
So it didn't seem to me as an answer to anything that I hadn't already read.
Okay.
So I guess that's why I discarded it. So. Mm-hmm.
Anne, how about you? Is that sufficient? Okay. So we'll move on to... the vocational and training support at United Cerebral Palsy. And Julian, you were the secondary reader. Joe was the primary.
Well, I had some questions, which actually from a combination of what they wrote and what the staff has told me have answered my questions about it. So mm-hmm. I don't have any further concern or questions.
All right. Anything else on that one? And let's see. I don't. The Disability Resource Expo proposal from Rural Champaign County Special Ed Cooperative. I'm working off a draft of all these. And who had that one? She didn't put anything down. Oh, wait a minute. That's not true. She did put something down. Okay, hang on. She was the primary reviewer. So she said, I think the decision should be made by Mental Health Board staff regarding readiness to subcontract the expo to another agency or continue to manage a series of small subcontracts. It's not clear that this is more efficient or productive. Is that what you think? You're nodding.
Well, I talked to Mark about it, and I know that it's going to continue in 2018 the way that it was. So I went to their little opening at the Vineyard. They're enthusiastic. It's a great venue. I think it would be a really, really good opportunity to develop this program.
Okay, and then I think the Urbana Neighborhood Connections had no questions. I believe that's it. Have I missed anything, Margaret?
Uh-huh. I have a comment on Urbana Neighborhood Connections. I've watched Janice Mitchell since I ran a Century 21 after school grant a long time ago, and her program exemplifies quality prevention. And so I would encourage any of you to go see what she's doing in the after school programs and with kids on weekends, and simply it's simply amazing.
Thank you. I believe we're to the end of Anne.
Well, I just have one kind of follow-up question in sort of in general. I'm sure it's been presented, but I'm not sure that I specifically know how to access it. We have a budget of X dollars, and we have proposal requests for X plus Y dollars, and I'm not sure what X and Y are. And then the follow-up question to that is, obviously, if Y is greater than zero, we are going to have to make some cuts someplace. So the way I'm looking at these things, what I would like to understand is, if we make cuts to a program or a series of programs or several programs, what are going to be the consequences of those cuts?
The last page of your packet has some information about what our total allocations were based on the groupings and what the total requests are. Yes, it's the very last page. It's not labeled. It's page 116. Mm-hmm. And this is basically it's a document we're going to use, I think, last month, but we reinserted it, and some of the groupings have been redone, and so you have some sense of what the total requests are compared to what are the amounts we allocated last year within those groups. And so you have the priority one, CCDDB, our intergovernmental arrangement, system of care, behavioral health, and we've moved some things around here where under behavioral health and criminal justice, you have adult services, you have juvenile justice, and then you have victim supports. And then under four is the innovative practices, and then you have five, which we've simply, it's other renewals. They have moderate compliance with our overall arching criteria. But there's some totals there related to how much within each of those priorities or categories, and then what we allocated previously. And Lynn, I don't know if you want to take it from there.
I do. So we have a target, and we really don't have an X and a Y, and there's a whole bunch of reasons that are not actually hard to understand. They take a minute to list. We don't even know right now what we're getting for this year until it comes. So that what we allocated starting July 1st of 2016, we hope there's enough money for. I think the mental health board is fine. The same was not true for the DD board. The amount we were given to project for FY17 revenues a year ago right now was significantly higher than what actually was true. And that's because of an error in the spreadsheet, which calculated their levy. They also don't experience the same growth that the mental health board levy does anyway. So there's not a lot of wiggle room for them. But just because we were having a special year, we can make ends meet without making any cuts to agency programs, because we have so underspent on the administrative budget. So we're fine. That probably isn't going to be true, hopefully isn't going to be true again for a while. So on the mental health board side, you can say maybe the target, I think today, is $3,844,360. But also, significantly, we got a whole bunch of excess revenue returned back. It was returned back to us too late to deposit into the fund, so it goes into the fund balance, and we can't use it without permission. It also we can't annualize it. It's part of what was allocated last year and then not spent. Well, in 16 and then not spent. The reason it took so long to get it back was that we waited for audit, for the independent audits before requesting it. So that's why I can say, let's plan for 3 million, what did I say? 3,844,360. But then you take out the DD piece, which is 657,294. So take that out. You have 3,187,066 to spend. Did I do that right? I think that's right. And that's growth from the mental health board fund has grown a lot since FY17, and that's for, don't know why. Anyway, we also have to think about the future, which may include a property tax freeze, which will hit us very hard because we don't have other significant sources of revenue. And then there are possible other problems like eventual settlement of the hospital property tax issue, because either we're going to get a whole bunch of money or we're going to owe a whole bunch of money. So.
And the board has already approved, set aside what amounts to $52,000 for the matching funds for the Department of Justice implementation grant application. We're working on that internally as to whether that's an expenditure, how we account for that, whether it comes out of that target that Lynn shared. But we do have to keep track of that is an obligation that's already been made.
And I think your second question is not one that we can answer without talking to the agencies. I mean, they've calculated their budgets on principles and real supplies and real expenses. And then, you know, if we propose a cut, they have to recalculate their budgets. And maybe that affects the deliverables, too.
I just want to say thanks to Lynn and Mark for this process. Boy, as the board members are reading all these packets and studying and going on the online to study every agency, so I want to say thanks because, wow, you have a tough, tough job. Thank you.
Certainly true. Okay, we are through with this big part of our study session. Are there any board announcements? If not,
we make a motion we adjourn.
You're always very quick with that.
Second.
All right. All in favor? Well, I think it would expand to, I think it would expand to feel,
yeah.
I'm so alert right now.
656, that's not it.
I don't want you to explain that.
I can write the number.
I don't want the number.
Yeah, I don't need it.